The summer circuit continues live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Gentle Ben Tasting Room in Alvin. Here now are the Killer Bees, Joe Blank and Jeremy Brennan on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Killer Bees broadcasting live from the Gentle Ben Tasting Room in Alvin. They were kind enough to open up a little early for us, Wednesday through Saturday from 3 to 8. College football season, though, they're going to open up at noon. Smart men here at the Gentle Ben Tasting Room. Sunday from noon to 6, so you can watch football here as well. They'll close it down for your private parties, private meetings, all of that. And then, of course, I always tell you how good their stuff is. Award-winning bourbon, vodka best in the state. The gin is best in the business as well. We'll be here until 3. Swing on by. Say hello to us. Wilhouse will be here until 6:30 as well. Joe George will be here all day. He was really the star of the company. One of the many hats he wears is the face of the franchise, Joe
George.
Well, the
face of the franchise, Gentle Ben, is right here next to us.
That's right.
Who you really want to see. You want to see Ricky. He can sign some bottles. He can do all kinds of things, take some pictures along the way. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great spot and really great drinks as well. So we hope to see you out here before 3 o'clock today. All right, Nick Caserio, he might need to be fired after the season. I hate to say this, and look, maybe that I'm reaching here a little bit. Maybe I'm going to jump to a conclusion. But
no,
the Arizona
way.
Cardinals, they put on their YouTube channel. They had the conversation with Monty Austin Fort trying to trade out of number 3 and then trade back up to eventually number 6. Here was a conversation, a bit of the conversation, of what Monty Austin Fort was going to need from Nick Caserio and talking through the trade with Nick Caserio.
Okay, here's what it'd be. It'd be 12, 33, 104, and a 24 first for 3 straight up.
Okay, so a lot of people are jumping to the conclusion where he said a 24 first and then that Nick Caserio kind of willingly gave the Texans pick and not the Cleveland pick. I think that that's probably a bit unfair because they had tons of conversations before this brief moment. There was probably context of what Ozen Ford wanted, what Nick Caserio had already agreed upon. There was probably already parameters of the trade, and I would be surprised if the 2024 first wasn't agreed on before, at least pre-discussed before this.
Yeah, to me, that's where I was at, too, when I watched it the first time. I'm like, so a lot of these general managers are having these conversations the night before the draft in the what-if scenarios and laying out the parameters for the what-ifs and with the potential to do things and then doubling back because you only have a certain amount of time, and we don't know what we don't know. So I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt that this was a back-and-forth discussion in which hopefully there was resistance until you finally decided, hey, if we are going to decide to do this, I got to give in and understand the only way to get it done is this.
I'm going to also give that benefit of the doubt. I feel like we can't just jump to that conclusion with a very little and small percentage of the full context of the deal.
Though it's easy to do.
I will say this, though. I will put an if, and it's a giant if. I'm willing to say that it is a giant if. And Cal McNair was in the room. Cal McNair should know everything that was going on, the context that led up to this trade. So Cal McNair will know. Cal McNair will know what Nick Caserio did. If Nick Caserio willingly gave the Houston Texans pick and not the Cleveland Browns pick, and the Houston Texans pick is like 5th or 7th, and the Cleveland Browns pick is like 15th or 17th, I think it's a fireable offense, to be completely honest with you.
I don't disagree with you at all, Jeremy, and that doesn't happen much. But
I think the thing
that I look at with all of this is, was Cal really aware?
Because should.
I think he was probably there for the cold cuts and the meal that they were serving, but he was also wanted to have a presence for the pictures. I don't know how much he was engaged in it. I know in the Rockets war rooms when Les Alexander was the owner, there was no doubt he was involved in every single decision and potential decision that could be made with Daryl Morey. I don't know what Cal's involvement was, but if this was the case, because we were so steadfast against giving up our pick in this trade, and we caught a lot of heat for it, but we also said, hey, look, we're not going to be able to determine if we were right or wrong for at least a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that the reason why we were, it doesn't take a rocket scientist just on paper looking at the rosters to think Cleveland is a better football team for next season than the Texans are. That's a more valuable pick for me to keep than Cleveland's pick. If it was definitely comes out that it was Nick making that choice and saying you can have that pick, or willingly just offering it, that would be a massive problem.
And again, we don't think that that is the case. But Cal McNair probably, you're right, wasn't like listening to those conversations, reading the text messages, but he should be let in the circle. Like, he should be told, hey, this is what's going on, blah, 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 blah.
The same way when we asked Bill O'Brien, did Cal McNair know you were trading DeAndre Hopkins for a bowl of soup?
Right.
You would assume that there was a conversation that had been had.
It had to have been. Like, you're not trading a star or a huge, significant trade without the owner being like, okay, that's cool. At least saying, okay, that's cool. So if Cal knows that Nick, and again, this is a huge if, willingly gave up the Texans first as opposed to the Cleveland's first, and the Texans are picking fifth and Cleveland's picking 17th, how is that not a fireable offense? How are you not firing Nick Caserio for that? If he willingly did this and he cost you 15 spots in next year's first round, for Nick Caserio, who doesn't have a whole lot of good on his Houston Texans resume, this is
that's
the straw that breaks the camel's back.
If this was just one move, you might be able to, not that it's a forgivable, it's not. It's an unforgettable, but you might be able to at least salvage his job. But because of his track record previous, that's what makes this more elevated.
Yeah, and that's where I'm really curious what the other side of the conversation was like. I wish the Texans would put it out.
So good.
Because it's definitely, there's definitely some weird edits in this one, watching it, because there's clearly the conversation with Chris Ballard, where Chris Ballard says,
are you out?
Or they say, are you out? And then yep. Chris Ballard says, not necessarily. But then it goes right to the Texans pick. And I'm like, wait, time out. Did the Colts just say they're not out? And then Monty Austin Fort lied to Nick Caserio, leveraged the Colts who were out against him. I wish we could see the Texans side of the conversation. It's super cool. But, like, it just feels like there's some story that, like, we're not getting the full picture on.
Sure.
But it does kind of feel like he got hoodwinked watching it. I'm not going to lie.
There was some Hollywood. I mean, look at the trade. I mean, you could just look at the value chart of the trade and know that he got hoodwinked. It didn't take a rocket scientist to realize he got hoodwinked.
But what I thought was so weird, too, is when he's going through the trade and he goes, 12, yes, 33, yes, 104, pause, okay. And I'm like, wait, was 104 really? Like, when they go from the beginning of the video,
is that
like,
the one you're going to lose sleep over?
When they said it's not enough at the beginning of the video, was like, were they talking about 104?
I think 104 is probably the additive to push the trade over the top. Because I bet you they already had the framework and the parameters done before 104. So that's probably why Nick was like, 104? And I bet you that was the push that, you know, the pick that pushed it over the top.
Well, what's interesting, too, is that the Cardinals' perspective in this video is that the trade was dead even. Like, they said that early on, like, this trade is even.
See, I think that's where the editing comes into play. Because I don't think they were talking about that trade. I think they were talking about their
so
I think at that point they were talking about their trade up to six.
Can I ask, though, do you think that if this was – do you think that the NFL had to see this before they put it out?
No.
I don't think so.
I think this is team content.
Yeah.
Because we've seen the Lions. The Texans have kind of done some of this behind-the-scenes
stuff.
So
the reason why I asked that question is when we did Mic'd Up with players with the Rockets – The league had a representative on anything that was going to be put on air before it was put on air to make sure that even from like X's and O's type stuff, but if anything they thought deemed it offensive, it was a team personnel and it was also the league personnel. And I would wonder if the league didn't say, I don't want Caserio to look this bad. Maybe that's where the editing came in.
What's the NFL's motive, though, to protect Nick Caserio?
Just overall as a league to make sure that you're not hiring just complete buffoons or a guy that looks like a complete buffoon.
I mean, they allow Bill O'Brien to be a general manager and Jack Easterby to be a general manager.
I mean, it's hard to hide Cal as an owner, but I'm just asking if the league didn't see this before it went out.
Yeah, I tend to think not. I understand why you'd want to do that, though, because you don't want to give up too much information. You don't want to, you know, there's some things that are behind the scenes. Baylor says what's funny is that the Cards called the Texans and not vice versa. That's hard to know in that little, like, three-minute segment that's about this. King of Twitch says that Caserio gets got every single trade, which I was talking about this on Twitter earlier today, and I was like, you know, what trades has Nick Caserio really won? Somebody pointed out the Deshaun Watson trade.
I was going to say, the Watson trade is the first one that comes to my mind.
You and I disagree a little bit on, like, how special of a deal that was for Nick Caserio. I think Joe George could have traded Deshaun Watson for three first-round picks to Cleveland.
Thanks.
I don't think it was really a difficult trade to make. You talk about being able to, you know, please all parties.
Well, manage a process and have some control out of what looks uncontrollable because of the no trade.
That's admirable. But in terms of, like, winning a trade, you had four teams knocking on your door willing to trade you three first for Deshaun Watson. So it's not like he, like, negotiated this heck of a deal. Like, that was the price to be in the Deshaun Watson business, and then Deshaun Watson told you where he wanted to go. So I don't think that was Nick Caserio willing and dealing his way to this, you know, amazing trade. And then if you look beyond that, okay, well, what other trade? Aside for Deshaun Watson, I mean, this is a guy that's traded fifth and sixth rounders for players who never even make camp, for a guy that you cut a week later. So Nick Caserio does not have a good laundry list history of making successful trades with the Texans, albeit most of them have been minor.
Yeah, no, look, I think that's why I said, in terms of the fireable offense, if you're looking at the full body of work, there's plenty that we've already discussed over the course of the last 6 months that this could be where he's on the hot seat all season. A lot of people were calling for his head before we even got into this draft cycle. And now I said, see me in a year. And if we're still talking about this in terms of missteps or missed picks and getting the wrong guys, then definitely he's not only on the hot seat, I'm not going to be bat an eyelash if he's fired because of it. Now you add this into the equation and you start looking at it and asking more and more questions, which you know will not be answered in terms of what was that scenario like now that we've seen the video. But we look back and think about what a buffoon Bill O'Brien was when he and Jack were on trying to figure out draft day when that video surfaced. This is going to be just the next chapter of Texans missteps caught on video,
yeah,
where you have more questions than answers about what were you thinking and why.
The only, you know what's funny? I still think that if Nick Caserio gets fired at the end of the season, I don't know if it's necessarily just because of this one trade up for Will Anderson. Like, if C.J. Stroud plays well this year, but he doesn't get any help from the wide receiver room, that's a problem. Why? Because every single one of those wide receivers, Nick Caserio traded up for.
Yeah.
He traded up for Mechie, Tank, Nico, and Collins.
Yep.
So, like, he's traded up for all those guys, and he signed Robert Woods.
Let me go one step further. Like, how many – there's so many people complaining that C.J. Stroud doesn't have an elite receiver, that they have the, like, poor receiving room. You see, you hear it all over. You hear it at the highway to hell. And part of the reason is because you traded 12.
Yeah.
You could have had your pick of all the receivers
100%.
Had you kept number 12.
And like,
how
Nick
much
Caserio
was I harping on that pre-draft? I was like, if you do go and make the commitment to a quarterback at 2, then you go get him some help at 12.
Yeah, like they've just made this all these trades for wide receivers. You know, obviously Sauce over Stingley. And if Stingley doesn't play well this year, like, that's going to be a big factor.
Green.
It's just, even if Will Anderson is defensive rookie of the year and the picks are good enough, if everyone else around you, all these other moves that Nick Caserio made were a disaster.
If Kenyon Green's a bust, that's a massive misstep at 12.
Yeah, guard.
Sure. Absolutely.
It's not great.
713-780-ESPN. What were your thoughts after watching this little Arizona Cardinal YouTube thing? 713-780-3776. Also, apparently this Bill O'Brien isn't quite a deal breaker for DeAndre Hopkins going to the Patriots, perhaps. Killer Bees broadcasting live from the Gentleman Tasting Room in Alvin on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Welcome back to the Summer Circuit, coming to you live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Gentlemen Tasting Room in Alvin. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Brenham.
Great spot out here in Alvin, the Gentlemen Tasting Room. We're here until 3, Woolhouse until 6:30. NBA Finals on our airwaves later tonight. Great spot. If you can't make it out today, well, shame on you. But Wednesday through Saturday from 3 to 8. During college football season, they'll extend their hours from noon to 8. And then on Sundays, 12 to 6, you can book this venue for your private party, for your private meetings, business meetings, corporate meetings, whatever. 50 people comfortably inside, and then they have tons of room outside as well in the distilling area.
A football draft in here would be pretty badass.
It would be really cool, yeah. Yeah. And very elegant.
Should we do a big money draft. ESPN League this
I'm
year?
Down.
Easy, Trouty.
With you noobs, absolutely.
I mean, I won like $2,000 last year in my fantasy league at the other place.
You won $2,000? That's not a buy-in?
Oh, come on. What kind of ballpark do you think we're playing in here? I used to make $12 an hour.
Do you think
like, what do you think we're doing?
Do you think, based on, and I don't know who was in your league, but did you think you were going to impress us by saying at that other place?
Wexler's smart.
I'll give you that.
Like, he's in the league with Granado.
When was the last time you played fantasy football, Blankers?
Well, I mean, I went out as a champ. So, a couple of years ago.
Brett Favre was still the quarterback?
No. Like, probably 3 years ago.
Oh, really? So you're like out.
Yeah, I haven't played in 3 years.
You were stacking Brett Favre and Donald Driver?
Nope.
No.
I think I'm not out yet, but I'm probably going to stop playing fantasy football if Texas ever legalizes gambling.
Really?
Or maybe I'll go down to like one league.
I had 5 leagues that final year. I won 2 of them. And then I was just like, man, with all the stuff I got going on a daily basis.
My
like,
wife gets
listen,
so mad.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's
here.
No, my wife was the same way. She's like, okay.
She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm setting my lineup.
Great that you made some money, but let's realize that that takes up a whole lot of time.
You know what? You want to guess what my number is right now?
12.
Well, yeah, but see, these are best ball leagues, so these are a little bit different. You draft it, you set it, you
forget
it.
You leave it alone.
So you've got
12's a little
it's
light.
Way it's, low. It's that's June, way low if it's just the best balls. I'm talking about the legit.
It's June 9th.
Let's see here.
So, the GM every
let's
single
just go
day
with,
leagues.
Let's go one a day. No, that's not right.
Wait, how many, aside from the best ball leagues, how many leagues?
69.
I try to cut down on the season long leagues because I prefer the best ball, honestly, because I don't want to do roster management. I think season long, I'm in two dynasties, one replay, maybe four?
Okay.
More, maybe four season longs?
I was going to say, I thought that it would be a reasonable number.
Yeah, I don't like the management aspect of it, to be completely honest. I think I'm up to 247 best balls.
Jesus Christ.
200, it's already June.
That's so many, Jeremy.
Is that a lot?
247?
Is that a lot?
Yeah, that's a
Jeremy,
lot.
Jeremy, I have zero.
That's a lot?
It's a lot.
How many people do you know that have won?
That's a lot.
It's a lot?
Yeah.
Are you doing like
a lot? Do I have a problem?
Yes. I think it's yes.
Do we need a
intervention?
No, I don't think we need an intervention, but like
I texted Jake today getting some advice actually. I asked Jake, I said, who's RB2 in New York that I can stack with Aaron Rodgers?
Dalvin Cook.
I know, I'm a little worried about
possible.
That. I've been drafting like Dalvin Cook's in Miami though, so I hope he lands in Miami because I've been drafting that way.
Mike McDaniel's response to that question was fantastic, by the way. The longest long about what way to get there to say I wasn't born yesterday.
Oh yeah, I saw that yesterday.
That was great.
Yeah, that was. I love Mike McDaniel. He's entertaining. I don't know if he's ever going to win a whole lot of football games, but I think he's awesome.
Keep giving him weapons, and I think he's got a good chance to succeed.
He's got weapons. He's got Tyreek and Jalen Waddle.
I understand, but then you give him Dalvin Cook on top of it and say, okay, quarterback may be an issue, but you got a lot to play with.
Chain's a pretty good weapon, too.
Let's get him a quarterback who doesn't have a mush for a brain. Like,
dang, you went there.
I mean,
he's gone a lot of places in the last 5-10 minutes.
Dang, that was quite the
church.
Leap. That was quite the leap there.
Dropped a JC on us.
Yeah, Day One Donna says, I love the Gentlebin bourbon. I don't blame you, Day One Donna. It's fantastic. It's good stuff. All right, so do you know where DeAndre Hopkins is visiting next? He already had a visit with the Tennessee Titans. I think that the exaggeration of the DeAndre Bill O'Brien saga, scandal,
controversy.
Dilemma, controversy, throw in whatever word that you want to use, is maybe a bit exaggerated. Because DeAndre Hopkins is set to visit the Patriots next week, sources say. This is Ian Rappaport saying this. This is after his Titans visit as Hopkins' free agent market heats up. I don't know if I would say it's heating up. New England could add a top pass catcher for Mac Jones.
I think he heated it up.
I think he did.
I think his agent.
The Texans.
Yeah, I think his agent and DeAndre probably heated it up themselves and just got enough out there. And then announced a visit to get other people to take notice so that teams that were probably saying, yeah, we get to camp and we'll see if we got some injuries or we'll see where we're at with our cap and then we'll talk about it. Oh, wait, he's already visiting a team. Maybe we might have to speed this up a little bit.
We were talking about it yesterday. We think these are the two best spots for DeAndre Hopkins, though. Like, that make the most sense. Like, you know, Kansas City would be a cool spot. Buffalo would be a cool spot. You know, the Texans, you can make a case where that makes sense as well. But from, like, looking at it from DeAndre's point of view and looking at it from a team point of view, I think that the Patriots and the Titans are at the very top of the list. When we first talked about this, Patriots and Titans were, like, two of our top teams that were, you know, in the contention.
But the biggest stumbling block for why I thought New England wasn't even on the radar was
O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien.
Yep.
So I'm wondering if that's not DeAndre and his agent going, look, you can make this work if the money's right and you get a chance to resurrect your career because they're going to make you a focal point. You can make this work with Bill O'Brien, or this is I'm going to meet with the Patriots so that Bill and I can sit across the table and we can just see if we can hash this thing
out. I think if he hated Bill O'Brien so much, though, he doesn't take this meeting.
I
don't think that he takes this meeting. If Bill O'Brien's a deal breaker, you're not going to go meet with the Patriots.
If Bill Belichick is the decision maker, and you can at least see where they're at with,
and it does drive up
be,
the market,
yeah.
To your point.
So I think that you know it's not. You still take the meeting because now there's multiple teams. Because now you're sending the message to the rest of the league, I'm not washed. I'm not done.
Two teams want me.
But, I also think that you take it with the intention of starting with a Belichick one-on-one
and
saying, How much are you putting stock in this guy? And if I got to talk to him, I need to talk to him now. But publicly what I'm saying is I'm meeting with another team, so now there's at least multiples interested in me.
I think both of these teams make sense. I think
they
it's plausible that the Titans and the Patriots sign DeAndre Hopkins. If I had to bet right now, I would bet that DeAndre Hopkins will play. I would take Titans and Patriots over the Phil. Like if you're talking, if you're betting DeAndre Hopkins next destination, I would take the Titans and the Patriots than every other team in the NFL. If you give me those package of two, I would bet them versus the field.
I think without knowing what really matters to him and not getting a whole lot of indications, if you can get the best combination of money and playing time where they're going to give you a focal point of the offense, these probably make the most sense.
He's wide receiver one, both spots,
if
right?
If winning plays into it at all, right. Because I think because he's immediately wide receiver one, that's why the Texans would make sense too. They have cash, and they would make him immediately wide receiver one. But I think that if winning matters at all in this scenario and there's a team that can come close money-wise, I think that winning may trump all for him and that he might have a team or two that could leapfrog him. That's why I've been hell-bent on Kansas City just makes the most sense to me because if winning matters.
Yeah,
if winning doesn't matter, then I think you're right.
My hang-up with Kansas City is I don't think he's a scheme fit. I think they want speed from their wide receivers, and that's probably his weakness as a wide receiver in the NFL. Tennessee and the Patriots made the playoffs 2 years ago. They aren't that far removed from being playoff teams. We don't think that the Patriots will be a playoff team this year. We look at Tennessee's roster, don't think they're a playoff team this year, but DeAndre Hopkins makes both of their offenses better.
New England, the only thing to me is it's a win-win because he can resurrect his career and Belichick can resurrect all the missteps of last year trying to make Matt Patricia an OC because you get a guy that you can go to. But traditionally, when New England brings in a guy like this, they underpay. I don't know that DeAndre is going to settle for underpay because he realizes you need me as much as I need you. And so if he goes there, I think the money has to make sense.
I don't know how much money DeAndre thinks he's going to get, though.
Like he's going to get 10.
I think that the AAV might be high. I don't think he's looking at a multi-year deal.
No. I'm not talking about a multi-year deal. But I think the conversation starts with 10.
Yeah, I don't know their contract situation. I have no idea the contract situation of New England or Tennessee.
I just think there has to be a one in front of it before the conversation goes further.
I tend to agree with that. I think it's going to be somewhere in the $10 to $12 million annually, but I only think he gets 1 year. I don't think he signs a multi-year deal with anybody.
He has to prove it. We've heard too much that a lot of GMs and a lot of football people think he might be on the downside or might be done and washed. That I don't think anybody's dumb enough to give him 2 years.
713-780-ESPN is Hopkins to New England. Is that realistic? All right. Every Friday at 1:30, we play Who Said It. Who put together Who Said It this week? Was it you, Joe?
It's a combination.
Of you and BMAC?
Well, I put together most of them. BMAC sent me a couple suggestions this week.
Okay, cool.
And we'll introduce a new wrinkle today as well.
Yeah, this should be awesome.
A little
bit
there?
Be great. What is the new
wrinkle? I forgot it wasn't at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, you kind of jumped up and whoa!
I was like, wait, do I have it ready? And then I do. The new wrinkle is that the 1 through 4 will be the same as always. The fifth one, there has been a script written out for BMAC and I.
Yeah.
And you'll have to guess two people.
Joe George told me yesterday, make sure we are out by 27. So we can get to Who Said It. And here he is talking for 30 seconds after it turned into 127.
It's 27.
713-780-ESPN. Who said it? Who's going to win this week? Skiller B's on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, right now, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. I was there bright and early this morning. I'm there every Friday morning. Stop in and see me when you see them and you realize they can make a difference in your life. They're fantastic. You're not trying to win an Olympic medal at this point in your life. What you're really trying to do is win the day. And day in, day out, you can win the day with more energy. You get more energy by the ways that Apollo Men's Health can help you get where you need to go. Men and women are there all the time for B12 shots and for hormone therapy. And that hormone therapy and those B12 shots give you more energy to get that to-do list done every single day of your life. You want to do it, but you don't want to go into the office and see the Doc and his staff all the time. All you got to do is learn how to do it yourself at home, or you can get cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy, which you only have to go in at once every 6 months, but you reap the benefits on a daily basis. Interested in some weight loss? Maybe you don't want to go in the gym. New FDA-approved semaglutide is available where you can lose up to 6 pounds in a week. every week. That's something you need to check out as well. Go to the website, apollomh.com. Check out all the services they offer. If there's a few you think it could help you, sign up for a first appointment. When you do, mention my name. Get a free B12 shot or a free body composition on your first official visit. Then let the process go from there. You'll find out that they're here to help, but you have to be honest with them. Tell them what you need, what you're trying to do, where you need to go. They'll get you a program that works. They'll get you the results that you're after. They're good people doing great things on a daily basis. Go see my friends at Apollo Men's Health.
It's now time for the mega producer Joe George to do what he does best, and that's stumping. No one can stump the best stumper in Stumpville, and that's Stumpy Joe.
Stumpy Joe.
What happened to Stumpy Joe?
The official explanation was he choked on vomit.
Today, Stumpy Joe will try to stump the killer bees with Who Said It? Let the stumping begin. Let's get stumped.
How many times did they say stump or stumpy or whatever?
I think we got to the over-under at like 9.5.
That's nice.
I enjoyed the hell out of that Stumpy since I got Joe. Blindsided from the Stump King when Stumpy that came Joe. Out.
I forgot that we changed it that drastically because it's only the second time we've heard it.
That was pretty good. I like that. All right, Stumpy Joe. So the new wrinkle is that we're going to have one question at the end where there's a conversation.
Yes, and there's only the only rule for that I will introduce is that that is the only time Sean Mapes is eligible.
Are you eligible? Because you filled up the call.
I am not eligible. Okay. I'm not included in this for the hour and 30 minutes I did for Paul on Tuesday.
Are you saying that Sean's eligible because you used him this week? Or no, because that's going to be a two-person show?
Like, I'll be straight up. I did not use Sean this week for the fifth one. But right. just because it's the only one person.
Going forward, he could be used.
It's the only one-person show.
That makes sense. That makes
we'll
sense.
We'll use Sean.
Well, Patrick.
I think he has like a million producers.
So he won't. Patrick will never be a two person.
Your boy B-Mac, he's on the show today. He's the main guy for PC, isn't he?
Nah, we have to rotate a lot. We so try to do as much speak. As possible. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Patrick will never. Speak. He'll never be a two person show then.
No, Patrick most likely.
See, I'm trying
not.
To get. I'm trying to collect data here.
I mean, right. I know
analytics.
When we first,
you're doing your analytics.
Doing some analytics.
When we started this game, you said there's no rules, and now you guys come out with a million rules, but we'll get started.
Well, because
he's not bitter at all.
Because in the past, yeah, you've already sold us out trying to pull one over on us by playing dirty pool.
All right, number one.
Hold on a second. Oh, so you're reading it, not BMAC?
Yeah, I'm reading it.
That's too bad.
Do you want BMAC to read it?
I'm good.
He actually doesn't have them. All right, number
so
one.
There's an empty threat there.
Yeah. Yeah, let's play chicken. Yeah, I do. I want that. I want
number
BMAC
one. I was also not one of the cool kids. Cody. I know that surprises everybody to hear.
Jake!
Oh. That's why I chose this one.
I'm off the wagon.
Actually, I think it might be Paul.
That's the end of the quote?
Because like I don't think that Jake is going to be self-deprecating enough to say that. I think Cody would say he is one of the cool kids. I think either BK or Paul would be self-deprecating.
I agree with that. I think it's more BK than Paul because Paul does still have quite a bit of the ego.
Now, do you think that Joe's going to use multiple people? Like multiple guesses here?
This is question one, man. I mean,
I know, but if we know that Paul can't be the fifth answer,
oh.
He's more likely to use him in the first four.
That's a good point. But he's also more likely to use him as many times as he can anyway because he loves him almost as much.
That's why I asked the question, like, how many like times Brendan. Do you think he would use him? Yeah, Brendan had a poster of Paul in his room.
Oh, I ceiling. Used Paul like on four times that one day.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but he's right. done it too.
You're feeling BK on this one?
I think BK is the most self-deprecating of the possibilities that you mentioned.
Can you read it one more time?
Yeah. I was also not one of the cool kids. I know that surprises everybody to hear.
See, BK's also a little bit like more laid back and like doesn't have as long-winded sentences, whereas Paul's like very hyper-aggressive. So I'm with you.
Yeah, I think BK.
I'm with you on BK. Brad Kellner, Joe George.
I was also not one of the cool kids. Oh, I know that surprises everybody to hear.
It doesn't.
You said Cody as I was reading it the first time, and I was like, I'm screwed.
So that counted. It was our first answer.
No, it's not your final answer. All right, number two. If Yonier Diaz doesn't start this game, it's a fireable offense.
What?
That's so outlandishly Paul. I'm thinking Paul or BK.
Oh, this was going into Tuesday.
So when he was hot.
Yeah.
When he was hot.
Give you a little hint.
What'd you say? Oh, give us his layout.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, would Paul say it's a fireable offense?
Yeah, because he doesn't watch that much. He doesn't watch baseball as closely as we do.
I think it might be Granato.
What about PC?
PC usually defends Dusty, though.
Does he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It wouldn't shock me if it was Granato. Or Lance could say something kind of outrageous from a baseball point of view.
Yeah, I could see Lance. I could see Paul just off the cuffing.
Kind of silly, a little bit.
Kind of to your point when he wants to stir it up and just go crazy right away, right out of the gate.
Say it one more time, please.
If Yadier Diaz doesn't start this game, it's a fireable offense.
That one's tough. That one's hard for me. That could be literally anybody.
Yeah, except us.
I think, yeah.
Except you, for sure.
Yeah, Dusty, I trust you. I could see like five different people saying this. I really could. Like, that's a tough one.
My initial is Paul. Because it's pushing the envelope. It's a little controversial. It's kind of knee-jerk. And it's emotional. And I think that screams to me, Paul.
It was after they won, though. He said it was going into Tuesday's game. Like, they played Monday and won.
That's a good point. So who do you think it is?
I think it might be Granato.
Man. What about not BK?
Could be. This is a tough one.
I could see him deadpan the fireball offense. Right,
I could see Jake
We're
saying it, too.
Shot clock here.
This one's hard. You can't put a very vague, broad one like this and be like, oh, shot clock.
I thought this would be a little easier.
You're leading us. I can already tell.
He might be trying to help us.
A little easier? Seems to me that if it's easier, then it's Paul.
All right, fine. Paul Gallant.
Not that easy.
And if Yiner Diaz doesn't start in this game,
really?
It's a fireball offense.
Granato never likes my tweets, son of a gun. But he liked one that I had about Yiner on Monday.
Yeah,
that's all why right. I was leaning that way. At Jeremy Branham on Twitter if you want to like my tweets.
Number
Thumbs
three.
Up. My bad.
Why do we have to copy all these insignificant countries and the way they name their soccer teams?
What?
This was after Messi signed with Inter Miami. Or Miami FC, whatever they are.
Say it again.
Why do we have to copy all these insignificant countries and the way they name their soccer teams?
I'm thinking BK or Paul.
I am too. I'm thinking I heard this.
So you're more likely to listen to hear Paul.
Right. It was Paul. Yeah, exactly. Very true.
I'm proud of that one.
Very, very true. Or the bench. I listen to the bench every morning, but.
I think it's either Paul or BK.
Again, which is not doing us any justice.
It's always
this
Paul
week.
And BK
yeah,
every
well.
Week.
I'll say Paul.
All right. Should we go back to the cold hand?
No, I'm saying that would be my suggestion.
Let's go Paul. Paul Gallant.
Why do we have to copy all these insignificant countries the way that they like name their soccer teams?
You know what gave it away there at the like now that hindsight 2020, the word insignificant. I don't know why that did it for me, but that is a very Paul word.
You don't think BK would come up with like some wacky way to say insignificant?
Yeah, but he'd mispronounce it.
I don't think he would say insignificant. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's
I don't know
what you're
how I don't know what
me.
He would
he
say.
He would say insignificant.
But
I think he would just say, why are we copying all these soccer teams?
Yeah. But remember, I don't.
But Paul threw in an extra fluffy word to sound smart.
I put in real pronunciations of words, not.
You said Yinier, but that's all right.
Oh,
all right,
did
next
I really? That's my bad.
This is the guy calling all people right. out again on names.
Number four.
Aimee and Suma.
Number four. Other than being afraid of the Yakuza.
What?
What?
It seems like Japan. It seems like it would be great to live in Japan. Other than being afraid of the Yakuza. It seems like it would be great to live in Japan.
Is this how they said it or you said it?
I don't really know how to say it.
I don't know what that is. Do you know what that is?
No. I think it's like the mob.
Really? I think it's a BK.
We're running out of options on how many times we... I mean, BK or PC? I think PC might know something like that.
Maybe. Or Lance, maybe.
Lance might know it too, yeah.
Say it one more time, just because I want to hear you pronounce that word.
In case BMAC hasn't saved it yet.
Other than being afraid of the Yakuza, it seems like it would be great to live in Japan.
Honestly, I could see Cody saying that too, just to throw another name into the mix.
Would Cody think it's great to live in Japan?
That's a good point.
Sumo wrestling.
Yeah, but food not as good.
I said it for you.
Yeah, or,
I missed that. Well played.
Or organized crime syndicate.
You got the last one right. BK or Lance.
Say it one more time, Joe.
You just want me to hear
Samaka.
Yeah. Other than being afraid of the Yakuza.
Yakuza.
It seems like it would be great to live in Japan.
I think Lance is more cultured than BK with the food and everything like that. That's the only thing that I would add to say. Maybe
yeah,
it's
but
more.
BK's not being serious when he says this.
Yeah, because there's no way he wants to. I'm thinking there's no way he wants to follow up on that, follow through with it.
Can you get kosher in Japan?
That's a good question.
Not that it's related to this at all, but I lean BK.
I'll go with it. That's
all
fine.
Right, Brad Kellner.
Brad Kellner.
Other than being afraid of the Yakuza, it seems like it'd be great to live in Japan.
We had it.
Who was that?
It was Lance.
Oh, dang.
Music was a little loud.
Man, we were right there.
Yeah, and the ones we missed, we were right.
All right, number five. B-Mac, you ready?
Darn.
Yeah, I'm ready.
I'm A. All right. What's the one from Thailand? The Thai one.
Is it Tai Chi?
Taekwondo.
I don't think you actually fight in Tai Chi. It's just the moving meditation.
Who are the two hosts?
What a weird conversation.
Either, to me, it sounds like...
Yes, I strategically put these back to back.
I kind of like he and B-Max Theater there. Like, go out, y'all should be in a play at like the Hobby Center.
You're sick if you like that. Because I was like, there's no way that these...
I'll have B-Max and I do it every week.
That was some D-level acting there.
I had some chops.
Bench or Cody and BK?
I think it's on the afternoon show. What are we calling them? Drive Time Show?
The twosome?
Big Boys?
The twosome that was three?
The Big Boys. Yeah. The Big Boys.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's the Big Boys.
I think it is, too.
But which two?
Well, because Jake was out.
But he was out yesterday for the first time?
Yes.
To me, it just seemed
like... They don't let Jake talk as much?
No, to me, it just seemed like it was BK and Cody.
I mean, that's fine. I'm not going to sit here and stand on a table for Jake.
No, me. You know I'm not.
All right, BK and Cody.
Good job,
What's
guys.
The one from Thailand?
Do we get two for
Thailand?
That
one?
No.
What?
Why not? Why can't we call it a push?
Tai Chi?
That was your first time trying this. And
Taekwondo?
I don't think you actually fight Tai Chi. I think it's just a moving meditation.
Deciphered enough to figure it out.
You guys did a great job with that one.
We did pretty good. We only got two today, but we were
in the neighborhood for all
I feel
of them.
Pretty good about getting the two that we got today.
I'm two for two since the stumpy stump 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 this, stumpy stump stump open.
This wasn't dropping a series at home. This was losing a very tightly contested series against a championship contender on the road.
Oh, thanks.
That's what we did today.
You just called me a championship contender.
It was a parallel.
That was the nicest thing you ever said to me.
Because it was a new wrinkle.
That's the nicest thing Jimmy's ever said.
I said I love working with you yesterday.
Good point.
Yeah. It's not even the nicest thing I've said in the last 2 days.
I might have had a rebuttal there.
My goodness. My goodness. You don't remember the nice things I say. This is why I don't say nice things to you.
I mean,
713-780.
I was talking about how much I miss Brendan, and Lord knows I would have never said that.
You miss Brendan?
Yeah, after
you regretting are you regretting us firing him?
After Joe's week that was this week, I started to miss Brendan.
What's the most likely outcome for first base this season? Is there a time where we're aborting Abreu? It's the Killer Bees broadcasting live from the Gentleman Tasting Room in Alvin.
The summer circuit continues live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Gentleman Tasting Room in Alvin. Here now are the Killer Bees, Joe Blank and Jeremy Brennan on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Not Santa is he's telling Blankers and I here to bow down to the Stump King.
Not Santa.
Not Santa lives for who said it.
Joe George's number one fan.
Is he? He's a big
fan
of yours?
I don't know. I think Junior Broncos right there.
I mean, not Santa's the one that tweets at you guys every weekend calling you guys bad teammates.
Thank you. I've listened to the bullpen once.
Once?
Yeah. Is that
I've
bad?
I've heard a couple times. I've been on it.
That's right. You have been.
Well, not on my show.
Well, that's intentional.
Well, who had you on? Who was hosting when they had you on?
BK and RJ.
No, BK. B-Mac.
I'm B-Mac, yeah.
They're not having you on anymore.
Why do I always do that?
Who asked you, B-Mac
Shut
or
up,
RJ?
Ron.
Did B-Mac or RJ ask you?
Shut up, Ron.
Who asked you to be on, B-Mac or RJ?
B-Mac.
B-Mac. What were you all talking about?
You think RJ's going to ask anybody anything?
I figured, between those two, I thought it would have been RJ. Because you and RJ always talk before the show, before our show. You'll talk hoops. I thought he'd be the one that asked you, honestly.
Oh, B-Mac did.
Huh, a little offended now. No, I'm just kidding. We're broadcasting live at the Gentleman Tasting Room. Business picking up here a little bit. You see this gentleman at the bar right here. He's trying all the flights of the Gentleman Spirits. He's got your hat.
I see that.
Got a Space Cowboy shot, yep. Our shirt. We had Mike come out a little bit earlier, got the tables filling up. This place usually isn't even open yet. It usually opens at 3. They opened up early for us. Thanks for them doing that. Obviously, you know all about the Gentleman Vodka, the gin, the bourbon. It's all fantastic. Gentleman Tasting Room, though. This room is cool. You talked earlier about the fantasy football in this place would be elite, probably a high-end league a little bit, not ones where you're winning $2,000 if you win it all. private parties, though, they do reserve this for private parties, business meetings, private meetings, whatever. Watch parties if you want. But this is a cool spot. Make sure you come on out here. If you're looking for a place to book a private party, private meeting, this is it. Or if you just want to try some of their drinks, some of their spirits. If you want to see how the process is done. This is where you see it. The Gentleman Tasting Room in Alvin. All right. So what is the most likely outcome at first base this season? Look, Abreu had a couple of hits yesterday, but we're looking at what he did on the bases more than anything else. He was very sad after the game. Michael Brantley is hitting again, which this is a last-ditch effort, I think, for Michael Brantley, because look at the timeline. Last time that Michael Brantley played in a game was on May 6th. That was over a month ago. He's taking batting practice for the first time on June 8th. Let's just round it up. It took 1 month from him being shut down to taking BP in a cage for the first time. Let's assume it takes another month to ramp up, minimum. That's 2 months from a setback where he played. If you have another two-month setback, season's over. So this is the last-ditch effort to get Michael Brantley on this team.
I wouldn't say last-ditch because I think that they would shut him down for even longer and say we're just hoping he can be ready for the playoffs. And maybe,
look at the calendar.
Maybe we get a weapon back for the playoffs as a last ditch.
I mean, that's if it takes 2 months and he has another setback, you're looking wipe off July, wipe out August. September would be the earliest.
Yeah, but I'm saying a playoffs.
And that's if the setback happened today.
That would be like, you know, we're desperate because we're past the trade deadline and we had another injury or something else happened where that would be the last ditch. But I think this is your last logical effort to make sure he's a factor in this season.
Yeah.
And that's scary based on what Bagwell said when the signing was made and when the interview took place when he said he will be ready for opening day. And even on our show, we were saying, let's be realistic. Don't push him back too fast. We don't need him in early season. We need him in October. So with all that said, it's interesting. I'm not getting worked up about that. I'm more interested in who they're looking at that's out there because almost as much as Lance McCullers, I'm willing to start writing off Michael Brantley because he should have already been back.
I'm with you on Brantley and Lance, honestly. Like if it was what Joe said earlier, like if they're back at some point, then you make a difficult decision at that point. But you don't do anything in terms of trades now, off-season acquisitions, things like that, with the idea that Lance McCullers and Michael Brantley are healthy. Brantley, this is probably the last year you're worrying about it, but Michael McCullers is still under contract.
And I think that, you know what, Urquidy's the guy that I would feel most confident about that's going to resurface and be okay when he does. But other than that, the other two guys are just basically, if that happens, it's icing on the cake and it's great. But I can't rely on either guy right now based on what's happened already this season with what we were told. So now Dana Brown could be the guy that comes in to save the day because he didn't make these moves.
Yep.
So he's not responsible for that. But he's the guy in charge now that could actually do what he's supposed to do, which is make the wrong right and do it at a time where there's still time on the clock to make the season right.
What is the most likely outcome at first base this season? Stick with Abreu every day. Diaz, Brantley, Abreu rotation, acquire a new first baseman. Some people would throw in a Mauricio Dubon into this conversation. He's been taking ground balls at first base at times. I think that's more emergency than anything else. But what's the most likely outcome at first base the remainder of the year?
I think the likely outcome for me is I'm going to stick to what I've said all along, which is this is year one of a three-year deal. They're going to give Abreu every single opportunity to fight his way out, and because everyone is going to love what he said last night, and they're going to be more sympathetic to a guy that truly is. He's going through it, but they love the fact that he's owned it, and they want to believe, like me, that he's still going to find a way to snap out of it. I think that you might see him give up some games, some extra games to rest so that Yiner can get some more time at first base so that you get a little more punch in your lineup if indeed he still continues to scuffle. But I think that for the rest of this season, it's going to be they're going to go with Abreu with a sprinkling in of extra Yiner to fight their way through.
I think a lot of it just depends on this next 10 days, 10, 15 days. Whatever happens while Yordan Alvarez is out. If Diaz is awesome, I think he's going to force their hand. He is going to force them to play him more. And Dusty's going to have to recognize that if Abreu is struggling this much and Diaz's bat is strong, that maybe you'll see Diaz get more spots in the lineup at first base. And then if Brantley returns, he'll add in two. So I think it's the rotation. I think it's more, at some point, if Brantley returns, it becomes more matchup-based with who's on the mound.
Cyclone says Abreu and sprinkle in Diaz to get the bat in there. Don't trade for one. Don't abandon ship. I think that they're going to trade for a first baseman. The more and more I think about this, I think that they're going to trade for a first baseman. I don't think they're going to DFA Abreu. I think they're just going to put him on the bench and pay his contract and not really allow – he's going to get every – I mean, he's going to play a little bit, but I don't think he's going to be your starting first baseman.
Sure.
Because Dana Brown, like yesterday when they were talking about the Lance McCullers injury, he says that he's trading for a bat, basically. He says we're looking at acquiring a bat. He said we're going to try to bring a bat in here. They talked also about how Brantley was hitting in the cages. So, like – right now, and look, we just said that we're not assuming that Brantley's going to be back, but you have a left field rotation. I kind of view Yordan as a DH, but you have a left field platoon with right now with Chaz McCormick and Corey Jolks. Do I think that's an everyday solution? No. I'd rather see Chaz and Jake kind of rotate in center field and then get like a legitimate bat in left. But I have a difficult time seeing where you're, what position the bat that you're acquiring is playing. I also think that a first base bat improves your team more than a left field bat because Chaz and Corey Jolks are producing at a higher level than Jose Abreu. So if you're trying to win baseball games, where are you going to improve? You're going to improve the guy who's producing the absolute least, which is Jose Abreu over Chaz McCormick and Corey Jolks.
To me, I think they're getting a corner outfielder if they're making a trade for a bat. I think they're going to get a legit bat that's proven in this league to be your left fielder. Assuming that Brantley's just not coming back or being that guy, you can send Corey Jolks down and nothing's really lost, and you know that he's shown that he can handle it on the major league level. But I think that it's the difference between a regular season platoon lineup that gets you through the 162 and a playoff caliber situation where if you're truly trying to win a World Series,
yeah,
those aren't the guys I'm going to.
Agreed. But it's also not Abreu with the 550 OPS.
I hear you, but you know what? The commitment they made means something, and I think that Dana Brown is going to respect that Crane is trying to save face as well as anything and knows that.
But if you're trying to, like, save face to what point? Like, the finances are winning. Because if you're trying to save face in order to win, it's not Abreu playing first base every day.
But I think it is. I think from an organizational standpoint, yeah, I think it is. It shouldn't be, but it is. And I think the other thing that we got to factor in here, Jeremy, is Crane still believes in Bagwell. Bagwell still believes in Abreu. They're going to keep pushing the Abreu envelope that he's got to play his way out of it.
Breaking Yordan Alvarez news and what I relate Jose Abreu to. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees live from the General Ben Tasting Room in Alvin on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.